morning, everyone. Thank you all so much for coming. My name is Claudia Seidenberg. I'm the operations person here at 100 State. That is the space that you're in right now. 100 State is a co-working space, so we are a shared office space for nonprofits, startups, entrepreneurs, freelancers, remote workers, really anything under the sun. We're the largest space in Wisconsin with almost 300 members. If you have any questions about co-working, thank you. If you have any questions about co-working, please don't hesitate to talk to myself or Greg St. Ford, our executive director. He's raising his hand over there. We're so excited to have you all here. Quick disclaimer, if you could avoid any of the tables with monitors, this is an office space, so please just be careful of other people's belongings. And I will now hand it off to Mo.
Thanks, Claudia. So this is pretty awesome. This is apparently what a room looks like when you get 100 or so people willing to give up a Saturday morning to surround themselves with amazing peers who care a lot about their community and want to answer the question, what do we do now? After an election like we saw, what's our role in shaping the future of our country and our state and our city? I'm incredibly humbled by the turnout. Can we offer each other a round of applause? Just look at somebody. So I'm going to talk to you about logistics for the day in a moment, but if you'll give me a few minutes, I want to tell you a little bit about what led me to want to call us together here today. So, as was mentioned, my name is Maurice Cheeks. You guys signed up on my Facebook page if you came to this, so hey, thanks for that. I am a member of the Madison City Council. I am an executive at a technology company based here in Madison. I'm a husband, and I'm a father. I'm a new dad as of this year. And something I didn't anticipate as I became a father was how interesting it would be to become a dad in a presidential election year, right? It changes the way you think, and I've been thinking about this since January, since she was born, and thinking about how suddenly, for the first time, to a greater degree than ever before, I've been thinking about how politics isn't ultimately about me, it's about the future. You know, the work that we do as elected leaders and as community leaders and as neighbors is meant to build into the future. When my daughter was born, I was really glad she was born on time. I was able to hold her as we watched the president's last State of the Union, and she won't remember it, but there's a picture of it, and it makes me feel really cool. One of the things that changes a lot as you become a parent, and many of you guys know this, is suddenly you get this enormous selflessness. You are second to someone else. And that's a big internal shift. One of the things that is an external shift is suddenly people talk to you differently. People ask you, but when you haven't seen somebody for a while, they'll ask you, previously they would have asked, how are you? Now somebody says, hey, how's your daughter? And it's just as easy to answer that question with sort of the trite, typical answer, I'm doing great, she's doing great. You know, being a parent is so cool, being a dad's really fun. But since last Tuesday, really, I think about the answer to that question differently. I think about that in the context of our connection to each other, right? So the answer to that question that I'll start to give, and some of you have already heard this, and some of you will start to hear it more, is she's doing, don't have a seat wherever you like, there's coat rack out there. The answer to that question is, she's doing all right if your kid is doing all right, if your neighbor's kid is doing all right. If the children in our community are doing all right, then she's doing fine, right? And the reason for that is because I believe what Dr. King said when he said that we are all connected in an intertwined web of mutuality, such that, you know, whatever occurs to one American directly impacts all of us indirectly. You know, realistically, selfishly, my daughter's going to be fine, right? Her dad is supposedly some type of community leader, elected official, business executive. Her mom is a doctor of veterinary medicine, got a roof over her head, food, people who love her. But that's not enough. because we're a community. And if there are enormous numbers of people in our community that are not going to be fine, if we can look at the schools and we know that they're not going to be fine, we can look at unemployment and know that a tremendous number of families in our community are not going to be fine, then that's not good enough, right? And so I am determined to change the nature of that. You know, this last election, we've seen ourselves in a place where we've elected a bully to be the President of the United States of America. And it was a really ugly election season. And it was ugly for everyone. It was like an ugly partisan race. It was an ugly sexist race. It was an ugly racist race. And that's all real, right? And our feelings in that were really real. As that didn't feel good. It doesn't feel comfortable at all. It doesn't feel okay that this is where we're at. However, for as much as we get caught up in the day-to-day, the politics of, you know, what's trending on your Facebook news feed and on your Twitter feed and what the headlines are in CNN, we get caught up so easily in the day-to-day of politics that we forget that what really matters is the day-to-day of our lives. We forget that the power that we really have, the agency that we really have to control our future and control our community, control our destiny, is in the power of how we treat each other, in the power to love our neighbor, to treat someone with respect, to go out of your way to meet somebody new, to welcome some folks to a room like this. And I know that that feels a little fluffy in the context of, like, a lot of us felt really hurt, really sad and disappointed and frustrated as of last Tuesday. But it's real, right? So the fact of the matter is, it's natural to have despair, right? I've talked to a lot of people in the room this morning, talked to a lot of you as you've been planning to come to this event. I've been trying to make sure that I have a good representation of where people's heads are at. A lot of folks feel despair in our community right now, and we're trying to figure out how to get out of it, right? It's easy to feel hopeful when you're winning. Past, you know, several years have felt pretty good. Right? And now suddenly you feel like we're being dragged backwards as a country and as a state and as a community. But we can't. Despair is a really risky thing. It's a really unsafe place to be. It's the opposite of hope. And lacking hope is a tragic place for a community to be. The American author James Baldwin, when asked about despair, asked if he felt despair. He said, "I can't afford despair. I can't afford to feel despair. I can't tell my nieces and nephews. I can't tell the children. I can't tell people there's no hope. That's not a viable option, right?" And that's where I want to get our community to, get back to a place of hope, back to a reassurance that we have the power to control our destiny. And I didn't know how I was going to get there. Tuesday night, I was with you guys. I was holding my wife as she cried on election night. I was holding my daughter in the wee hours, really thankful that she was too young to be able to ask questions. I don't have answers, right? I remember thinking, what is this country then? It's not what I thought it was. It's not what I hoped it was. What is politics? Why am I doing this? Why am I giving up 3 out of 5 of my weeknights every day, not seeing my family, in exchange for what? It's because the loudest bully is going to win in the end? And that's not a good place. But I want to share with you how I got out of that place. And some of you guys may have seen this on Facebook or something, but that night I went to bed, night of the election, apparently only like 10 or so days ago. It was like 3 years ago, if only. That night I went to bed in despair, in sorrow, in sadness, in frustration. And my mom, the mother's intuition is a really amazing thing. My mom texted me that next morning and said, "Hey, how are you feeling?" And my mom knows how to use an iPhone perfectly well. She saw that I read the text in a quarter. I didn't have an answer, right? So many of us have for so long, for the past, you know, several days, several, you know, 2 weeks now, we meet each other on the street, we see somebody in the coffee shop, hey, how are you doing? Do you want me to get into that? Like, I don't have an answer for that question, right? And so I ignored my mom that night. And she spoke a word of just a sentence of truth that changed my outcome, my perspective in a snap. And I want to share that with you guys. She said, don't be discouraged. Mm-hmm. People need to be able to turn to their local leaders now more than ever. And I said, you're right. I got to get off my butt. I got to, you know, stop feeling like I took an L and there's nothing I can do about it. And listen, don't get it twisted. I'm not here to say that you guys need me as your local leader. What I'm saying is I need you. Our community needs you to get back in the game of hope and determination and lead locally. Because that's what we can control. And so that's what, you know, that's what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about how do we reclaim hope and reclaim some of our priorities and make a difference in the ways that we can. We have, I first ran for office in 2013, was elected to the Madison City Council, and since have been fighting for, fighting to try to make Madison a model community for what it looks like to close the opportunity gap between whites and non-whites, between haves and have-nots, in our schools, in our workplaces. I've been fighting to try to increase civic engagement. I feel like I'm doing all right today. It's one of those days where you feel all right about it, right? But I firmly believe that that there's a finite amount of civic energy in the world in any given community. And it's our responsibility as civic leaders to harness that and target that productively. When we see elected officials finger-pointing and name-calling and riling up hate and frustration, that is the opposite of what a community needs. That is the opposite of a good use of civic energy. And thirdly, you know, one of the main things that I've really been mindful of since I've been elected to city council is it's critical for us to be thinking intentionally about how we're going to deal with growth as a community. We're a fast-growing, medium-sized city, fat, quickly diversifying. And if we, so this is a beautiful room, right? If you go into the schools right now, if any of you guys haven't been into the schools, I see Valerie back there from the Foundation for Madison Public Schools. If you guys haven't been into the schools lately, you gotta go. It's so exciting to see the life and diversity and energy of the young kids in our community. But it is inevitable that those kids are going to become a part of our community. 50% people of color currently in the schools, 10 years from now, need to have jobs. They need to be able to be productive contributors to our community. And if we're not thinking about that every day, we're not thinking every day about how do we plan for the next generation of our city and how that's going to affect our state and how that's going to affect our country, we're missing an opportunity to be intentional about the future of our community. And so, you know, one of the things that we started to do here today is, as you guys were arriving, you put some ideas on the board. What I really want to do is we're going to break out into a couple sessions, and I'll explain that in a moment, but we're going to take a look at these topics from two perspectives. We're going to look inwardly. I'm going to ask you guys to be really intentional about thinking about what can you do about these issues that you wrote down that you're most passionate about? What can you do to look inwardly, to make a difference for your community, for those immediately around you, for your city, to make these issues better? And then in our next session, we're going to talk about what can we do to look outwardly? How do we think about these issues through the lens of recognizing that as a community, as a city, we have a responsibility to the state and to the country to lead by example? And it's going to look like this. It's going to look like big issues, but it's also going to look like just taking care of one another. we have to look out for each other as a community. This past week we saw, this past couple weeks, we've seen across the country hate crimes on the rise, things that make a lot of our hearts hang heavy. And then we saw incidents of that right here in Madison, right here on the west side where Elder Clear and I represent. And I was really proud of how quickly our community stood up, shared that, and said that's not okay, that will not be a thing in Madison. And we're going to continue to see that because some people feel emboldened for that type of behavior and that type of mentality to other people. But what I want you guys to leave here with is a renewed sense of determination to ensure that we're looking inwardly to make our community better, and we're looking outwardly to make our state and our city better. And that's, listen, at the end of the day, that's what encourages me. That's why I do what I do, because I realize that, like so many that came before me, I am a part of the fight to advance our country, by way of the fight to advance our state, by way of the fight to advance our city. And you guys are all in that game. Whether you want to be or not, as a member of a community, you have an obligation to ensure that that community is moving forward, is staying safe, that we're looking out for each other. You guys all right with figuring out how we're going to look out for each other today?
Yes.
Awesome. So that was like a little bit more of a stump speech than I wanted it to be, but I got excited. So what we're going to do next, so the way that today is going to work is, wow, we have a lot of people here. We are going to break out into, so what I want you guys to do is identify one topic on this board that is of greatest interest to you. And the way that we're going to break out is by topic. And so I know that everybody wants to talk about every one of these issues, but in a setting like this, it's going to be most enriching if you have the opportunity to engage in a discussion with people that are hyper passionate about the same thing as you, and you guys will be able to have dialogue about what can we do right here in this community to make progress on this issue. I'll pass out some papers and you guys will be able to take some notes, of which I've gotten a lot of requests to be able to aggregate these notes and share them. And so I'll ask for you to take good sort of bullet point notes. There's also a box where you're going to have your top idea that you just sort of want to share for the room. It doesn't mean it's the only thing that you want to share, but it's the one that you really want the room to hear. So after we break out into our topic groups, I'm going to go around and ask people to report out what's the main thing on this issue of climate change or education or whatever that you want the room to hear about, how your discussion was enriching towards the looking inward to make our community stronger. Then we'll take a break, and we'll have my friend Jenny Dye, who brought coffee and might be getting more coffee. Anybody see her right now? She'll be back. We'll take a break, and Jenny Dye will set the stage a little bit for us to be thinking about looking outwardly and what our role is as a community to help ensure the health and safety and progress of our state and of our country. And then we'll break out into, you can go back to the same groups or different groups, but you're going to go back into topic groups and do the same exercise, looking outwardly. We'll have plenty of time. We'll have about 30 minutes for each one of these, which seems like not a lot, but you'll have a small group. And trust me, 30 minutes is a good amount of time. And then we'll report out and it'll hopefully be great. By the end of that, you know, depending where we're at on time, I'd love for people to be able to have the opportunity to exchange contact information or just make sure that you're meeting other people here. Because these are your people, right? I mean, these are people that, like I said, we're willing to give up a Saturday because they care that much. So make sure that you're getting a chance to take advantage of meeting people. What we're going to do now, and if you haven't eaten, there's snacks. But there's not a lot, so do whatever you got to do. Now would be a great time. We have a lot of tables. It seems like people are going to get up and then just find their seat back at the table. If you don't have a chair and you need one, we'll figure it out. And if you have a chair and you don't need one, then you'll help figure it out. So now's a great time. What we're going to do, you guys will have to do a little self-organizing, right? As you're at the board, you know, if you're really interested in talking about a topic, just sit there and chirp out loud about,
someone's right,
so then people will kind of get out. And then you guys will find a table and we'll figure it out. This is, these are natural. This is a grassroots community. You know, I'm not going to tell you how you need to spend your time, but I am going to pass out pieces of paper so you guys can, you know, help share. And we're going to report out throughout the day. Does that make sense? Does anybody else have any questions right now? Are you guys ready to get rolling? Awesome. I love you guys. Awesome. So, what I would really love to be able to do now is to pretty quickly go around the room and have people, Josh is trying to capture this because we have just a tremendous number of people who really wish they could have been here. So this is going to be on Facebook, I'm going to go around the room and ask you guys to mention what was your topic for posterity, right? So we need to be able to capture that. And then, what was your key takeaway that you really want the room to know about? We're going to capture all the rest of your bullet points. Don't feel obliged to go through the whole thing. But the key takeaway, the key thing that you want the rest of the room to hear, that bubbled up in your topic discussion. Jeremy, do you want to start in your group, or whoever will speak here?
I don't think I have the desk and paper.
Okay, yeah. So we did voting rights.
You got to speak up. We're going to stand up and speak up to the room.
We did voting rights, and our takeaways were overall awareness. Awareness is the biggest thing. And under that, education, ensuring that everybody is educated, ensuring that everyone has access to voting and to get a voter ID, and then automating that as well, so that when you get your driver's license, you're automatically registered.
Awesome. So just as a reminder, everybody, if you want to be capturing this, this conversation is meant to be public. I would encourage you, you don't need to identify people by name if you don't have the permission to do that, but please feel free to share and tweet and post hashtag leading locally. We'll do the next group.
Okay. We were talking about diversity in Madison, and I think there was a lot of energy and enthusiasm at the table, but a lot of us wanting to have better outlets to both understand and take action. A lot of us, me personally, not feeling like I knew how to do that. So that's kind of where we concluded.
I just want to add to that. I think we kind of...
Speak up, stand up.
Oh, sorry. We jumped into the second part. We kind of leaped right
into
the...
Oh, you broke the rules. Nobody else broke the rules, right?
I think it's the Madison thing to do. But I think another outcome is this concept of listening, how to take care of one another, really listen and to form alliances.
Awesome, thank you.
We were talking about climate change, and it kind of boils down to the same thing of awareness, and that your daily decisions are going to impact every single thing that happens on this earth. So if all of your initiatives succeed, but ours fails, we're all going to self-hate together. So that's important to keep in mind. So apply your daily choices into every single thing that you're doing regarding transportation specifically, as well as your choices when you're buying at a grocery store. Think about the plastics that you're using, as well as the distance that it had to actually travel, because that's all coming into the fuel that's actually behind it, which is kind of a hidden piece.
I'm more bigger.
Eating.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great side up there.
Thank you.
That was really
clever. Our topic was hate speech, and we did a lot of discussing of our own stuff, but also one of our members had found this Southern Poverty Law Center has this amazing extensive page on how to respond to hate speech. And the page is called 10 Ways to Fight Hate, a Community Response Guide. And we recommend that anybody at all that's interested in doing something about hate speech when it happens, go to that site.
What was the site again?
It's from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it's called 10 Ways to Fight Hate, a Community Response Guide.
And you can share that right in the Facebook event. I'll link right to that. And everybody will get a notification.
Yes. Hi, we were talking about women's rights, and we started with a lot of conversation about policies and law and things like that that people are engaged in, but then when we were looking inward, we came up with kind of three steps that we thought were really important. And one is being able to educate yourself and being able to speak up. And so when you're hearing things that aren't inclusive, being able to speak up and talk about that, and feel free to have those conversations with people who might not agree with you. And then we talked about publicizing and promoting and supporting other women. A lot of the conversation revolved around women's business and supporting women in business in our area, but I think that there are a lot of other ways to do that. And then we talked about building a council or a leadership group that was focused on inclusivity. We called it the Badass Women's Council. And so those were our three kind of takeaways that we had.
You were talking about youth voice and getting a pipeline for the youth to have voice and power, whether it's on a micro or macro level within the schools or within the community. A couple things we had to take away was just visibility of youth groups that are already leading. So visibility within schools, when we were talking about here, how there was already some groups that were going on, there's some events that were going on, some alumni from us from schools that the alumni didn't really know about. So people who want to engage, also want to engage in youth voice, but only know that they can happen. And then also using the platform, whether it was social media, in spaces like community centers, schools or events or individual relationships.
We were focused on education and there's so much we could do, but I guess one of the big things, again, comes down to promoting awareness and sort of storytelling. Telling the stories of what's happening in schools, really sort of getting people more engaged there, and then looking at ways to better involve the community. You know, channeling some of the interest that people have in how they can support and be a part of the public schools, even if they're not necessarily enrolled or have students enrolled there, but giving them a way to be a part and creating a structure that allows them to be involved, but also allows us to better reach out to the people who maybe feel disenfranchised or cut off by the school, feel that they don't really have a place or have a place in the schools or have the support to help them to be successful in the schools.
This the first room here. Is that you?
No, not the first room.
Okay, the second room.
We were a social safety net group, and we also talked a lot about
what
we're going to do next time. But because this was personal, our takeaway is that we have to be our own safety net for people. We have to stand up for people and help people as much as we can. Just always considering that we're a safety net too. If we have resources, we're a safety net. And also, Dane County is full of resources that people don't know about and how to connect people. Learn about the resources so you can help people about the resources. So that was all. Does anybody have anything?
Okay.
We've got
a
big table right here.
We came into this looking at what is really going to be effective and consistent as far as getting organized. And we heard a lot of echoes with some other groups here. But we covered a lot of ground. One thing that came up consistently was using relationships across lines, across different lines. How can we keep people engaged in a strategic way beyond just this moment right now? How can we just really be more strategic in general? And do we have some specific goals in mind? Someone brought up the next election in 2 years. And I don't know if there's anything else that anybody else wants to bring up.
We were looking at criminal justice and policing, and
we talked a lot about the myriad of issues that go into that, and focused in on how we can hold our police forces accountable. So our takeaways were to be consistently applying pressure on city and county government to keep our police forces accountable to our communities, and in sort of the reverse of that, supporting our Madison Council as they keep calling for a review of the police force in Madison, and then supporting community orgs that already exist here in Madison that are pushing back on the excessive force in policing and the lack of community accountability and control over the police. And at the county level.
For you guys.
Yep, so our group was about how to get involved in local government. And so basically we just had the main consensus that even on the local level that there's so many unopposed, empty committee seats, ways to get involved. But as we were all pretty much identifying as millennials and the lack of mentorship or the opportunities to kind of learn the roles, and basically we just talked about our takeaway was that our current infrastructure of government is not progressive. It's exclusive and it seems to be individualistic. And so how to cultivate that through mentorship, but also just learning all the different avenues that are available to be involved in.
Did we lose Mo? Okay. Oh, there he is. You're about to see my best Mo impression right there.
Did you see that anyway?
Yeah, let's do that no matter what. It's a happy hour thing.
So you guys are awesome. That was really enriching. I think, you know, I'm really looking forward to being able to capture the pieces of paper. I know some of you guys were on multiple pieces of paper. What we're going to do in a moment is you can stay in your same groups if you're inclined to do that, or if you want to reorient yourself and you say, you know, as it relates to this other topic, I'd rather talk about something that's more outward facing. So. We can do that however you want. This is your event. But before we split up again to have another session, I really want to introduce a great friend of mine and another great community leader here in Madison. Jenny Dye is a member of the Dane County Board. She also is one of the leaders behind One Wisconsin Now, which has done some really fantastic work that I'm sure she'll mention for you. That is doing that work of looking outward, like breaking down barriers to make it easier for our state to be successful, making it easier for us to lead by example, you know, as a community, looking outward. Jenny, you want to welcome aboard.
Thank you all so much for taking the time to come here today. I can't tell you how inspiring it is to see this room of people who are giving up part of their weekend to come here and talk about how do we make our community and our world a better place. And in the past week and a half, I've been thinking a lot about some of the ways that many of us felt like that back in 2011 after the results of the 2010 election, which on the state level were very similar, but just smaller than what we saw happen very unfortunately last week, both here at the state level and nationally. And one of the things that has always stuck with me since that time was when I was walking around the square at the protests following the introduction of what would ultimately become Act 10, there was a guy who sort of looks like what I think other people think of as like the prototypical Wisconsinite, like sort of a burly, bearded, winter jacket, looked like he probably belonged at a Packer game guy, who was holding up a sign that said, "The faith I have lost in our leaders, I have found in the people." And for me, that is something that I have thought about almost every day since then. And even more so today, as I see all of you guys turning out to talk about what we can do. And there are so many things that we can do in our daily lives to make the world a better and a kinder place. One of them is showing up here today. Another one is being a good friend and a good neighbor. And if you took the time to show up here today, you're probably already doing that in your life. But it's also important to think about the things that maybe we aren't already doing in our daily lives that actually really make a difference, not only for ourselves, but for the future. I think about, my dad is a teacher and a coach, and I was at a track meet with him, and a student came up to him after he had been talking with one of the other coaches from one of the Madison schools and said, "Coach Dye, how come you're the only white guy I've ever seen hug a black man?" It was a student of color who came up and asked my dad that question. That says a lot about our communities. And I grew up in Janesville, so certainly not as diverse a population as we maybe have here or in some other communities around the United States. But there are people of color who live in our communities, who live in our neighborhoods. What is our relationship with them? And what does that say about us, and what are we saying to our kids, and how do we change that message? That's something that we can do every day. In Madison, I think that there was a lot of excitement among some progressive circles around Black Restaurant Week and planning outings to restaurants that are owned by minority businesses, and people really got behind that. But we gotta plan those outings more frequently. We need to support the people in our community who we don't necessarily have relationships with, because that's how we build relationships with them, and that's how we build policy that it actually benefits all of us. We've got to support women-owned businesses, which I heard as an idea coming out of some of the discussions today. We have to support the businesses that are owned by progressives who put their money where their mouth is, like Cargo Coffee was happy to help donate coffee for us to be here today. Those are the types of places that we need to decide to put our money. Yes, thank you to Cargo Coffee. And if you'll excuse me, I'm just gonna take a peek at my notes here. I think another thing that we can do in our daily lives that seems really simple, but we sometimes don't do enough of, is speaking humanity to hate. We hear a lot about speaking truth to power, right? That's a saying that we've all already heard, but speaking humanity to hate. And that was something that I had thought about in the past week, but that became even clearer for me after seeing some of the news and watching the video clip of the performers of the musical Hamilton last night, who stood up and spoke humanity to hate. They stood up and they were respectful, whether or not anybody is going to say that today about them or not, and they called on somebody who has a history of not seeing the humanity in others to see them. Seeing people is powerful, and standing with them is powerful, and we don't do enough of it. But we can do more. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes you're the only person in a room who might be willing to do that. I think that I'm really fortunate because I live in Dane County in a community where I don't frequently feel like I am the victim of blatant sexism, but let's all agree in this room that sexism is a thing, right? There are people out there who are arguing that sexism is not a thing. It is a thing still. We don't live in a post-racial America. We don't live in a post-sexism America. We live in an America where those are real issues and real barriers for people to get involved. And there are barriers for people in this room that we have to break down, because that is what government is about, and that is what leading is about. But I was at a meeting once for a committee of local government, so shout out to the people who want to get more involved in those committees, because that's really important. And it was the first time that I was there at a committee meeting where I was the only woman in the room. The rest of the room was all men. And I knew that going in, and so I worked extra hard that week. I always work hard to make sure that I know what I'm going to be talking about when I walk into a room to do business for the people of this county, but I worked extra hard that week because I was coming onto the committee as a new supervisor, and everybody else had already been on it. They all already knew each other. They'd already been working on these issues, and I was going to be the only woman. And so I worked extra hard so I would walk in and I would know what I was talking about, and so that I could get the respect that I deserved, because I was worried. I was worried that I wasn't going to get that respect unless I had done the extra work. No one should have to feel that way. And then the funny part of the story is that as we were sitting in this meeting, as the only woman at the table, my chair was one of those office chairs that you can move up and down. And the function on it broke, and so my chair throughout the course of the meeting was like, so finally I felt like my chin was on the table, and I was like, hey guys, come on, I've got something to say. We can do a better job of making sure that committees reflect our community, that committees look more like this room than other rooms. We can do a better job of making sure that we're willing to listen to any ideas that people bring to the table, and that they don't feel like they have to go the extra mile in order to just be heard. How do we do that? It starts with talking to each other about how we create better spaces for listening. Starts with talking to people who we have not listened to before. And it starts with the future and our kids and how we model behavior for them and the lessons that we teach them. And one story that has been really powerful and uplifting for me that I want to share with you all that happened over the past week was, I have a friend, we met in kindergarten where we used to walk home and have egg salad sandwiches at her parents' house, which, you know, everybody does that in the kindergarten, right? Egg salad sandwiches are sort of the go-to kindergarten treat. And we were friends all the way through high school and ended up both attending UW-Madison, where we were roommates our senior year. And so this is a woman who I have been close with my entire life, and she and I don't always agree on politics, and sometimes she votes for the person that I don't vote for. But in this election, she and her family decided that there was too much at stake and that there was too much at risk for the greater good, and that they couldn't bring themselves to support a candidate who didn't believe in all of us because they believed in all of us. And that's great. And making sure that people go and vote and do the right thing when they're in that ballot box and vote against the hatred that we saw in this election is absolutely a key part of how we make change, because we can talk all we want, but unless we have leaders who are going to vote the right way and support the plans that we have, that's not going to happen on the state and national level. But the inspiring part of the story to me was not what they did with their vote. It was that they have two kids, and her oldest kid is about 8 or 9, and she talked to him about privilege. And she said, what if you, your whole life, whenever I baked brownies, had gotten 3/4 of the pan, and your little brother only got the last quarter? And then one day I said to you, you can only have half from now on, because that's what's fair. And he thought about it, and he's the most adult child that I've ever met, said, I think that would take some adjusting. And it's true that it does take some adjusting to not get that extra quarter of the can of brownies, because brownies are delicious. But man, what a way to teach your kids about the idea of privilege and fairness. And her younger son said previously, before the results of this election, that he really thought that boys and girls should trade off every other term for president. So, you know, kids get it. They get it if we let them. And so we have to help model that behavior for them. We have to help make sure that we are building the world that they deserve. And what I told my friend was, tell your son we're gonna build him, or bake him in this case, a bigger pan of brownies, so he can still get his 3/4 and everybody else gets theirs. It's gonna be the same amount. And the question for us in how we lead is, how do we do that? How do we build a future where everyone is treated the way that they deserve to be treated, with respect, with equality, with justice? And how do we do that in a way that reaches across the barriers that we have seen and breaks them down? Not just when we're talking about barriers like sexism and racism and bigotry and hatred and homophobia and xenophobia and all of the isms and phobias that I could probably spend the rest of your day up here naming out, right? And it's important to call them out. But it's also important to talk to that person who has been getting 3/4 of the pan of brownies about, how are we gonna pull together and make sure that it's a better world for all of us together. So some of the ways that we do that. We've got to have more meetings like this where people come together and talk about ways to lead together. We don't have a lot of time to fight amongst ourselves right now because we have to be in solidarity, fighting against the bigger battles. That's not to say that there aren't things that we ourselves need to fix within the Democratic Party, within progressive politics, within the idea of progressivism that has for too long left too many people behind. We do need to fix those, but we need to do it in a way that brings people together instead of bickering. We need to do it in a way that finds a path to make changes here in Madison and in Dane County that can have a ripple effect throughout the rest of the state and throughout the rest of the country. We need to find a way to be that voice and that opposition, that power of speaking humanity to hate and speaking truth to power and doing that together. And so as we transition into sort of the next part of this section where we're going to be talking about looking outwardly, I think that's the challenge for all of us. It's not just what do we do and how do we advance progressive politics, but how do we do it in a way that is bringing everyone along? How do we do it in a way that is baking that bigger pan of brownies so that everyone gets to share in the fruits of what I think is a really great community, but that for too many is not as great as it could be?
Awesome.
And with that, I'm just going to say, whatever you're thinking that you can do right now, if you have any doubts about it, stop doubting yourself. It is hard to be brave in the face of hate, but it has never been more needed in my lifetime. The greatest thing about America is that I think what I learned when I went through my social studies and history classes is that we have learned from our mistakes. We made another one, I think. I don't think there's going to be much argument with that in this room, but we can learn from it and we can be better because of it if we seize the opportunity. So seize it, and I look forward to doing that together with all of you. Thank you so much. I'm happy to answer a few questions if anybody has them. Otherwise.
Before we shift, does anybody have any questions for Jenny?
In the back.
Oh, questions.
Idealism, and I really appreciate it. I'm not back there yet, and I hope we are not decimated to the internal level, but we are not able to do the things we want to do.
So, for folks who couldn't hear, part of what she said was she's not quite there yet to the level of idealism I might have expressed, and it hopes that we're not decimated nationally to not be able to make progress. And what I would say is people are hurting after this election. Man, I have cried more times than I would admit to you in the past week. And I know that other people have too, and I know that some people feel angry. That's okay. Part of being a movement is that there's enough people for you to step back and feel what you need to feel while other people continue the work. And then when I maybe have a moment of doubt in my idealism, I know that you're going to be there to carry that on. And so that's really part of being a team, and that's how we're going to win this thing. We may not be able to see a lot of wins at the federal level for sure in the next couple of years. That's true. But that doesn't mean that we can't do the work of losing forward. So that when we have these losses, when we feel decimated, we use them as opportunities to make progress, opportunities to talk about things on the local level, opportunities to change hearts and minds. So I feel you, and I don't always feel as optimistic as I might sound today, but I know that together we can do it. Yes.
And I would like to echo that. I just came back from the National Conference in Atlanta called Facing Race, and one of the comments that was made at one of the dinners that we went to Glenn Harris, who is the director or CEO of the Center for Social Inclusion, made a comment that Dwayne Marsh made, which is also part of the Center for Social Inclusion. He basically said that there were over 2,000 people represented at this conference, Facing Race, Racial Equity and Social Justice Conference, from across the nation. And his quote was, is that in the room with 2,000 people being represented at this conference, that meant that jurisdictionally, there were over 25 million people, in essence, represented by representation of those 2,000 people. He said, yes, we have a heavy lift. He was like, but be reminded, the 2,000 people who came from across the nation and some from Canada. He was like, yes, we have a heavy lift, but we have to get all of the grieving done today. Because when we leave this conference today, we have a heavy lift, y'all. So let's not be disturbed, right? So that's for you.
It's Charlie in the back. So, and then we'll come. It's Abraham, right?
Hi, Jenny. I happen to know that you went from being a protester in 2011 to becoming an elected official. Obviously, not everybody that can necessarily be like the path that worked for them. But for those who might be interested, what were some resources that you used to explore that as a possibility? Like, how do you do that? I mean, are there resources in Madison that help, for instance, women become elected officials or any of that kind of stuff that might be useful information for folks who might be interested?
Yeah, great question, and thank you for bringing that up. I guess that's probably something I could have talked about. So Emily's question related to how can you get involved, because for me, my path to becoming an elected official was getting really involved in the protests in 2011 and being inspired to do more in my community. So there are a couple of resources locally that I actually didn't do before I ran, but boy, do I wish that I had. One is Emerge Wisconsin that helps train women to run for office, and they are still accepting applications right now. So if you are interested in that, you should Google Emerge Wisconsin, and I can put a link up on the Facebook group as well, and apply. Another that I am on the board of, as is Mo, wherever he is hiding again, is New Leaders Council. And our applications for this institute are actually closed already, but you should keep that on your radar as something to get engaged with and move forward. It's about building new progressive leadership, not only in terms of people who will hold office, but across sectors like nonprofits and business, because we need progressive leadership across the board in order to accomplish our goals. I also received help from the Dane Dems, and a lot of help from people like you who, after the protests in 2011, felt really motivated to do something and who I connected with at meetings like this one about what to do. I will say it was not easy. I had no idea what I was doing. For example, I got my yard signs the night before an event that I was having, and I was supposed to bring them to the event for people to pick up. I didn't know that I had to put together my yard signs. So I was like at 1 a.m. in the morning at my house by myself stapling yard signs to try to get them ready for the event the next day. So if you decide that local office is the path for you, call me. I'm happy to help. And help you learn those lessons. Another really great organization for folks who maybe aren't in Madison itself is Wisconsin Progress. While they do endorse candidates who are in Madison, they are much more focused on building candidates in areas where there is not already Democratic or progressive leadership. But they can be a resource to help you get connected with people here who care about these issues and are willing to help. And then if we're going to talk about it, I'm going to be brutally honest that when I ran, there were a lot of people who were like, you're never going to win. I ran against a guy who had opponents many times and had beat them all. And up till the last week of my campaign, the people who know about these things were telling people not to volunteer on my campaign because it was a lost cause. And I was really just spending too much time on Twitter. And then I won by 10 percentage points. So Social media actually does help. You shouldn't just sit around on social media. That's not going to win a campaign that way. But it does help get connected with people like you. In fact, I bet many of you found out about this event because of social media. So this is the power of social media. And we can help each other. And it doesn't matter what the people who know about these things say. You can make change.
Jenny, I'll take two more.
Two more questions, and then Mo's going to make me shut up. Carlin.
I think it's important to understand that we can't and should not.
Can you stand up, Charlie?
Depend on
louder, Charlie.
Charlie, stand up.
Charlie, we need your voice louder, please.
Okay. I think it's important that we understand we cannot and should not depend on leaders for the change that we need. I think it's really critical to understand lasting change comes from the bottom up. And we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Yep.
So it's important. We're really looking at something that's going to have an impact long term. We need to be engaged, we need to be involved, we need to take responsibility. And one thing my dad used to say, every dollar spent is a vote. And I think it's important to put our money and our efforts where our mouth is in terms of providing the kind of support. Lasting change comes from the bottom up. I mean, one of the things I really appreciated about Bernie Sanders' campaign, he regularly said, it's not about me.
Thanks, Charlie.
So this is something I've been thinking about for the last week, and hopefully it's going to come a little bit rough, but you know, I'm kind of sick about just hearing about just women rights and just LGBT rights and just Latino injustice. I think, as you said, it's time to come together. It's time to make a bigger movement, because I think we can work together as one.
Absolutely.
Rainbow Coalition, right? Cool.
And I think that's a really great transition to what we're about to do next. So I will turn it over to Mo with one quick anecdote about him, which is many years ago, maybe 2010?
That's when we met, it was 2010.
Yeah. So it must have been in 2010. Mo and I were relatively new friends, and we were sitting at Brasserie V having a drink, and we were talking about the West Wing. And Mo said, would you rather be President Bartlett or Josh Lyman? And I said, Josh Lyman. And he said, yeah, like they're who gets stuff done. And we're standing here today in elected office. So things change. But also, I think the change has been that we believe that we need leaders who get stuff done, right? And so with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Mo, and with a big thanks for getting stuff done and organizing this today, and letting me speak at it. And thank you so much for being an inspiration. Thank you.
So if I said that I would rather be Josh Lyman, I was probably being modest, because the answer is definitely Bartlett.